writer, actor, and veteran Benjamin Bush will be at Western Michigan University this week. He is leading a discussion group for veterans of all ages and their families. The first of three talking service events this fall runs from 6:30 until 8:30 Wednesday night in Schneider Hall on the Western campus. Benjamin Bush, thank you very much for being with us.
Hey, it's a pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Explain what talking service means.
Well, the Michigan Humanities Council and the NEH have kind of gotten together to make a program where so many veterans don't really have a sense of what the term actually means. It kind of is a label that gets applied to everyone who has served in the military. It's given certain attributes. And I think a lot of veterans, when they first leave the military, or even years later, aren't really sure how they feel about having that title. You know, you hear a lot of discussion about veterans. You see them used by the politics of the day in a certain way as a group, as if we all have exactly the same experience. We all have the same feelings about everything. And it's just simply not true. So many of the veterans I know come from such varied backgrounds, and in the military did such extraordinarily different things that we wanted to put together a group that can actually just kind of talk about what it's like to someone who has and has moved on with their life. You know, I think we like to kind of make a veteran a singular thing. And the problem I have with that is that for 18 years before the military, anyone who served was an entirely unique and complete person. And after the military, there's someone else as well. It's part of who we are. But it'd be nice, I think, just to get together as a group in something we're calling Talking Service and discuss kind of how literature has reflected the veteran. There's so much writing about veterans now. So there's a book we're using, which is put out, called Standing Down, From Warrior to Civilian. And it has a number of excerpts from writing all the way back from the Greeks to the Desert Wars of today. And so we're going to kind of, you know, read a few of them, pieces, and kind of find ourselves and discuss how we relate or don't relate to a lot of the way we are depicted by both veterans, veteran writers, and non-veteran writers.
Now, you're a writer yourself, and you're also a veteran, but are there pieces that you have read by non-veteran writers where you really feel that they still, even though they haven't experienced the same things that you did, they capture the essence of what it means to serve?
That's a great question. And yes, I absolutely have. I'm not someone who believes that the imagination has limitations. You know, I don't think that you have to have done something personally to be able to use language to write about it with authenticity. I just don't think that's true, although you better do your research. And some of the best veteran writing that I've seen and some of the best non-veteran writing comes from well-researched storylines. You know, they've really looked into what they were trying to describe. And even try to go to some of the places that they've written about to get a good visceral sense of place. And I don't limit this. You know, we kind of also assume that every veteran is a combat veteran. 90% of them are not. And we want to make sure that the whole of the military is included in the discussion about what it's like to have left home and gone somewhere and done something. And for a while, with such a great sense of purpose. I think that's one of the things, almost universally, you'll hear veterans who have had a good experience in the military or not talk about afterwards, is that suddenly there's this empty space where there used to be a very clear sense of what to do. You know, we don't often find that after service. But you know, going back to language, I think everyone seeks to describe experience, the human experience, in one way or another. And the military certainly provides a very dramatic and particular place an experience to write around. So I think writers have been drawn to war, to the aftermath of war, to people pressed into such a tight group. You know, it's a tribe, you know, when you're in a unit. And there's something very attractive to writing about the dynamics of personalities kept in such close quarters and how they have to get along even when they don't. So I think it's been fertile territory for writers for thousands of years. And we'll talk about that. Also, of course, where we see most writing about veterans now, you know, better or for worse, is in op-eds, you know, newspaper work, journalism, and politics. And we're often generalized. And I'd like to talk about that with veterans who are watching the news right now as we go into an election year. We're fully in election year as we head towards the actual election itself. And how, you know, the word veteran is suddenly used by every side as a certain kind of tool. Everyone's afraid of kind of touching any policies that address the veteran, but we're about to have a new commander-in-chief. I mean, the commander of all military, the one who is going to send us first and foremost into harm's way. And so I think we'll probably talk a little bit about that, about how they feel about how various writers and politicians use the word veteran to encompass all of us.
Do you think that there are certain issues that veterans do pay more attention to, even if you might have some different ideas about how to address them? Are there certain things in an election year that veterans focus on that maybe the person who never did serve in the military, they don't pay quite as much attention to that particular issue?
Well, you know, you might have talked about the civilian-military divide in the past, about how some of us are in the desert wars in Afghanistan, Iraq, and Horn of Africa, the entire Middle Eastern region, and how it feels very much that America has not addressed it, hasn't stopped those wars, even though they seem to be, if you ask anybody, very unpopular, and how they've flared up again, how we're sending troops back. We're back in Iraq now. We never thought that was going to happen after, you know, almost 10 years in that country, and we've never left Afghanistan. So we're beginning to call Afghanistan and now Iraq the forever wars. And you kind of expect that since they've cost so much in both lives, money, and international reputation for the United States, that they would be probably the most talked about aspect of the new election, and they're not. I think veterans pay very close attention when policy about either of those countries is specifically addressed, because so many of us have either been in them or have supported the efforts in those places, whether you're in Germany or in Alabama. You know, one way or another, everyone in the military is serving in support of those main efforts right now. And for the past 12 years, they have. So I think they pay attention to that. I think people are finally beginning to realize that, you know, the commander-in-chief is a serious position. And what politicians say about the use of the military reflects immediately upon people who have been involved in service. So those things, as well as, of course, benefits. You often hear veterans' benefits brought up as a tool for one policy or another, almost held hostage in order to get things done. Many times veterans' benefits are attached to bills which have nothing to do with veterans' benefits, and they're used as a weapon by one party or the other to get something else that they want, because they're afraid that the perception is that that veterans will be betrayed. So I think we pay attention to those things in particular. I certainly pay attention when I hear about the idea that the military can be used with impunity, that we are simply a police force in readiness, and when military leaders are quoted in opposition, generally to guidance by political leaders, I pay close attention to how political leaders view, you know, the military opinion, because in the end, you know, we will do what the American people send us to do, as directed by their elected officials. But whether we like it or not is a different thing entirely.
Do you encourage other veterans to write about their experience, either, you know, to be published somewhere or maybe just to have it written down in a journal someplace that they can revisit? Do you encourage them to take that step and kind of put down on paper what they experienced as a veteran?
Absolutely. I do writing workshops for veterans all over the country, from Alaska to Florida. And that's a real joy. Many people, I mean, we're talking about World War II era veterans all the way to present, have done extraordinary things, even though they haven't thought them to be extraordinary. I know a guy who was just in an intel office in Germany, and they heard that they were listening to Soviet radio transmissions. You know, he never left Germany the whole time. And what they were beginning to hear over the radio, Soviet transmissions, were the names of cities they'd never heard before. And first they thought it was code. And they began to run through maps, and they realized the Soviets were invading Afghanistan, and no one else knew. This is someone who, you know, was in an office for his career and didn't think it was, you know, all that amazing. I talked with a naval vet who never thought that it was important to record, you know, his experiences, but he was on the ship that picked up the Apollo capsule when it came down. You know, there's extraordinary things happening, which are the stuff of legend, the stuff of great story, the stuff of archive, you know. That's why we have a national archive. So even if they aren't meant to be published, even if they're just for family, many of whom don't really know much of what their family members have done in the military. And especially one of the biggest unwritten records we have right now are women in the military. Just hasn't been a whole lot of recorded first-person narratives about their experiences throughout time, which have had, you know, the different aspect of a woman's perspective and all the social pressures that have slowly changed or haven't changed about their place in a military force. So, yeah, I think that's wonderful. And standing down, the book we're using for Talking Service, many times just talking about how other people have written about it really helps a veteran or a family member figure out how to construct their story, you know, how to put those sentences together into a narrative that's articulate. So it's a great place to start, I think, just the talking about it, and then the possibility of, you know, of telling their own. I find everything to be fascinating. The things which seem most mundane, which most of the military work is, it's a repetitive act, ritual, which goes on for 3 to 6 years in some place, is still already part of a journey. Nobody works from the military at home. Everyone had to make a huge step when they were young and commit to something that was kind of beyond their imagination. And then suddenly they find themselves in a position of, you know, a necessary duty, and that's interesting. And what they do afterwards, how that experience comes back into their lives, I think is really important. It really forms the way a lot of people have lived their lives afterwards. whether it's been a piece of discipline, whether it's, you know, the camaraderie of it, or whether they finally realized where places are on a map. How many people knew where Afghanistan was before we invaded, or Iraq? I think we've been teaching a certain amount of world history by participating in the world, which is, if you're in the Navy, you know, the seven seas. They're not kidding. The Air Force owns the sky, and, you know, the Coast Guard is the coast. Army and Marines everywhere. So I think it's really interesting to see people taken completely out of their element and placed into the world in a visceral way. I think there's so much story in all of that.
Even if all a veteran does is write this down and put it in a desk, you know, they don't have essays published in places like Harper's, like you have. And maybe they even share it somewhat reluctantly and just sparingly with family members. Is there something cathartic for a veteran to write about what they experienced, whether it was combat or not?
Absolutely, yeah. Many people write as a kind of therapy. Some of them are worried they'll forget. Some of them write in memoriam. They've lost people they've loved, and it's a way to preserve their lives by telling a story that they can no longer tell. A lot of people are reluctant because, you know, this isn't always for show. It very much is sometimes a personal story, and the reason they haven't told it yet is because they've kept it to themselves, and there's no pressure to expose that to the world. But I think there's something about organizing your thoughts. I think there's something about getting your own story straight sometimes, which helps. And of course, you know, memory changes over time. It's corrupted by its own inability to be exact to a certain extent. And some people don't even realize initially what they were part of. You know, their piece of any military effort is often very small. Their view from their place in the military is very thin. And afterward, in writing about something, they have to do what I do. I mean, I research my own memories when I write nonfiction because I want to make sure that I understand myself to have been in a place and understand what the overarching reason was. What was the mission? As peace and time, it changes. And sometimes they just don't tell you. And so people looking at their own stories, researching their own place, suddenly kind of find out how big it was. They found out the necessity of their sliver of it and the spectrum of it, the prismatic view from their place gets pretty interesting. Sometimes they're far more interested in discovering what they did after they did it because of that. It's a like Soldier's Home by Hemingway, which is in the book we're using, Standing Down. Kind of ends with him reading a history book, and it says, "I was finally really learning about the war," which is something interesting. You know, this is writing back in the 40s. And I think a lot of people actually come to a discovery, and through other veterans in the room, someone will tell a story which suddenly sparks and triggers a memory, which they haven't even had 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. So there's part of that discussion where you know, some people will be pretty quiet throughout it, but they're taking in all those different stories and placing themselves in them. And we aren't Greeks. We aren't fighting as Spartans. But when we read some of the Greek plays, little pieces of them, we realize they've been talking about the difficulty of returning home as a veteran forever. You know, when Odysseus returns home from the Trojan Wars, you know, he is so changed, his wife doesn't recognize him. You know, it's them trying to explain that there's been change. Something has changed in a veteran who's been away, whether it's a large thing or very small things. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's very useful for everyone. And some people never read any of it, but just being part of that discussion is, you know, is really unique and fascinating for them. And they bring something. I mean, especially the ones who have had longer to think about it. I mean, Vietnam veterans, Korean veterans, World War II, they've been thinking about it for, you know, decades and decades and decades. They watch the politics change. They watch the military change. They watch the missions change. And they have very particular views on these things, which a lot of young veterans will find themselves agreeing with. We just haven't had that much time to let this settle in. So that's why it's great having a really diverse group, which we hope to have do for these little talks. And just a couple hours of us sitting around. You know, this isn't a class. There's no expectations. The assignments are just very brief. And I mean, just hope mostly it's a bunch of people who have a varied but shared background in one way or another, talking about what it's like to be a veteran in the world today.
Benjamin Bush, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Benjamin Bush is an actor, writer, and a veteran, and he will be at Western Michigan University this week leading a discussion group for veterans of all ages as well as their families. It's called Talking Service, the first of three events this fall. It runs from 6:30 to 8:30 Wednesday night in Schneider Hall. More details can be found at WMUK.org.